All week we've been watching the Harvey Weinstein scandal unfold. It's a nuclear meltdown of scandals. The radioactive fuel doesn't stop burning. The number of women accusing Weinstein keeps growing, and so does the number of other women speaking out about sexual harassment and assault in many industries. Actress Emma Thompson, for example.
This man is at the top of a very particular iceberg, a system of harassment and belittling and bullying and interference and what my mother would have referred to in the olden days as pestering. Is he pestering you? That's the word we used to use in the olden days, if you recall. This has been part of our world, women's world, since time immemorial.
If I'm not smiling, I could not do this interview and I would just be like sobbing all over the place, and we don't need that either. So...
That's Natalia Antonova. She's a Ukrainian-American writer, journalist, and playwright, adding her voice to that of Emma Thompson's and many others. Today, Natalia published an article on Vox. The top line reads, "Some victims stayed friends with Harvey Weinstein. I did the same with my rapist. Here's why." I asked Antonova what she hoped to do by sharing her story, and just a heads up, this may be hard to listen to.
I realized that people were going to accuse his accusers of being frauds, because a lot of these women have had to keep up a relationship with him over the years. And we have a stereotype about the way real rape victims are supposed to act. And basically the stereotype says that when this happens to you, you recognize the man as the monster and you cut off all ties and you torture him in the public square. But that's not how a lot of people respond to this crime. And it's definitely not how I responded when it happened to me, which is why I wanted to write this piece, just to explain to people why somebody might be in that position.
And writing in Vox, you explain how much of what you've been reading about the Weinstein case, how it echoed for you, especially Ronan Farrow's account in The New Yorker, his revelations about actress Asia Argento allegedly being raped by Harvey Weinstein, but then going out with him, having consensual sex with him. You suggest you understand all of that because of what you went through. So what do you see as parallels? Because this happened when you were young, you were a journalist just starting out.
Yeah, well, I see the parallels because I remember in the morning after I was raped, I was thinking, okay, like maybe I should just go ahead and kill myself. The brain obviously wants to survive. And in order to survive, my brain decided to create this fiction where we were just doomed lovers. Like, he was in love with me. I was in love with him. It was like a beautiful love story. But then throughout all my old emails, I keep dropping hints like it was confusing. There were some bad things that happened, and I was also scared, but we're still in love. You know what I mean? Like, I had such severe shock that I couldn't classify it as rape for a very long time. So Asia Argento describes how Harvey Weinstein, how he made her feel, you know, loved, and he was a friend, and he cared for her. And the thing is that after you are raped, you can end up with these feelings like, I will never be loved. I am not worthy of having friends. I am not worthy of anyone caring for me, because like, it's such a huge violation. It can override your entire view of yourself. And then to have that man, to have somebody who violated you in that way, turn around and say, but honey, you're actually loved. You're not worthless. I care about you. You know, it's all going to be okay. I think that she wanted to cling onto that psychologically. Mm-hmm. And I definitely wanted to cling on to that as well. And this is aside from the professional considerations, of course, where you have someone in your field more powerful and experienced than you are. He's already destroyed you physically and mentally. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to say something ugly here, but it's like it kicks in the back of your head. Like, he destroyed me, but maybe he'll make up for it somehow. Like, maybe it can still all be okay. You know what I mean? And yeah. women do make these calculations. And I think we should be talking about this. It's an uncomfortable subject, but we should be talking about it, because I think this happens to a lot more women than we realize.
Well, I mean, this is what we've been hearing all this week, as a lot of actors come forward. And are you sensing that outside the U.S., people are opening up this conversation now because of the Weinstein revelations?
I have been really saddened to see a lot of my Russian friends in the film industry in Russia trying to deal with these revelations by playing them down, or by saying, but he's so talented, or by pointing out, well, you know, like, women are gold diggers, you know, they'll seduce him and then they'll say whatever. You know, it's just, it's also, on one hand, like, I want to criticize them. But on the other hand, I went through this entire process in private with my own rapist. So I understand some of the feelings. I think that it's just too scary to think about the reality that we live in. And I think it's easier to try to justify what happened in some way.
To go back to your essay in Vox about your own experience, you don't name your attacker. Why is that?
I'm still afraid of him. That's one part of it. You know, he remains more powerful and more famous, and he could totally destroy me. That's A. And B, I also think that it would be my word against his. It's been years. You know, like after it happened, I had bruises and scratches on me. And technically, I suppose if I had been in any state to report this, the police would have probably had to take me seriously considering the state of my body. But that was years ago. You know what I mean? And where I'm at today, I think that naming him would actually do me more harm than good. And I'm just not even mentally or physically ready for the challenge. It pains me to admit this. And I wish I was Wonder Woman about this. You know, we're all about empowerment today and how girls should be heroes. But in this particular situation, I am not ready to be the hero, I guess.
I mean, it sounds like the Weinstein episodes that's still kind of unraveling has empowered a lot of women to come out and speak out. I mean, you're included. But will the Weinstein scandal change anything? I mean, will countries like Russia be immune from any change that might come from the outside?
I think in Russia, a lot of structural change needs to happen before we can even begin to talk about dismantling the rape culture there. And I also think a lot of structural change needs to happen in the States with regards to rape culture, you know, because we have a system in place that protects wealthy, powerful men from their accusers. I don't know how long it will take to change any of this. I do think that we should not just be focusing on the horror of it, the very visceral horror of it. We should also be talking about the reality of what we're dealing with and how to make it better, how to practically make it better.
Writer, journalist, and playwright Natalia Antonova, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.